You're listening to the Orlando Magic Podcast, hosted by Stephen Garlick and Andy Harrington.
Hello and welcome back to the Orlando Magic Podcast. I'm Andy Harrington, and to my right is Stephen Garlick. Steve, what's your favorite combo meal from Wendy's?
Well, that's a great question. JBC's all day.
What JBC's? What's that?
Junior bacon cheeseburger, bro. Because you can get like four of them for the price of a combo meal. Come on, man. What is this, rookie hour?
All right. Okay. Moving on. All right. So this is our special draft podcast. We will be talking all things Orlando Magic Draft 2017. And so we're going to start going over kind of where the Magic are positioned, what picks they have, all that good stuff. But for our general news, the Douchebag of the Week award goes to none other than Kevin Durant.
Whoa, that's surprising.
Yeah, if anyone heard what Kevin Durant said, he basically just trashed the Magic to up his own image. So screw Kevin Durant, and we're going to move on, not give him the time of the day.
You're a douche.
There we go. All right. And so for the Magic in the draft, they have the 6th, 25th, 33rd, and 35th picks in this draft. Great positions to be in. However, Steve, do the Magic need all four of these people, or could they combine some of the picks to move up? You really think they're going to bring four rookies into training camp?
You know what? I would, especially in this draft. This draft is extremely deep, and I think they could get a lot of different contributors out of this draft, especially with John Hammond's, you know, track record of, you know, getting great second round picks. So what I would do is I would actually use all four of these rookies, and I think you can get four guys to come in and really influence the Magic's roster, you know, this next season and for many seasons to come. And the other great part about it is you're gaining assets, and you're also going to be able to mold these guys into what you want Orlando Magic basketball players to be. So yes, I would bring four rookies in. I would give John Hammond four tries at this draft. And you know what? I think we're going to land something pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think one of the most exciting parts about bringing Hammond in is his special ability, his talent at the second round. And so every Magic fan should be glued to their television as the picks 33 and 35 come up, because Hammond is about to work his friggin' magic. No pun intended.
Pun very much intended.
Okay, it was intended. Okay,
there we go. All right, so let's dive right into all things draft for the Orlando Magic. Here we go.
With the 6th pick in the NBA draft, the Orlando Magic select.
All right, so let's go ahead and figure out kind of how we think this draft is going to shake out for the Orlando Magic, especially with that 6th pick. You know, this is going to be the pick that really, you know, highlights the draft and really puts John Hammond on the board and in the hearts of all the Orlando Magic fans. So what we're going to do is we are going to mock draft our first 10 picks and how we think teams are going to pick. And, you know, we're definitely probably going to disagree on a few things. But this is how we kind of think the draft's going to, you know, work its way out. So real quick, Andy, who do you have going number one to the Boston Celtics?
I think this is the clearest pick of them all. It's going to be Markelle Fultz. If it's somebody else, I would be shocked.
Now, I completely agree with you. Markelle Fultz is hands down better than anybody else in this draft.
Leaps and bounds better than anybody. He's in his own category. He's far and away better than anybody else on the board.
And now if the Boston Celtics trade this, I don't think that pick trades at all either. I think that whatever team moves into that slot, that pick will always be Markelle Fultz. If not, we might have another Anthony Bennett situation.
Oh, that would be interesting.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I think first pick's very safe with Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right, number two, I have this pick. I think everyone's seen my documentation on how much I don't like this player for multiple different reasons. I know everyone thinks it's just about LaVar Ball, but I have many different reasons of why I would not pick him number two. But the Los Angeles Lakers, I have drafting Lonzo Ball.
Oh, I thought you were going to say De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I thought about it, but...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the fit just is perfect. Keep the drama in drama land. You know, keep LeVar where he belongs, kind of. Just keep him away from the Magic.
Such a train wreck.
Yeah. So, I like Lonzo Ball a lot. I think some of his shortcomings will be, his dad and, his inability to get a shot off in the NBA. I think he does have his shortcomings, but I really, really like Lonzo still. I know you don't like him, but I think he is one of the better players in this draft.
I think he's a great player in the sense of he does a few things very exceptionally, but I don't think he is a player that is going to push him and his teammates better. I think he makes his teammates better, but I don't think he's going to push them. There's a difference in my mind. And then also with him, everyone's saying that LeVar Ball's not going to be a distraction like Coach Alford at UCLA. Well, Coach Alford, you still have to coach his other two sons, so I'm pretty sure you're going to say that no matter what. All right, number three. We got the 76ers, and me and Andy both agree that this is where the draft really begins. I'd be shocked if Lonzo Ball wasn't taken second. But at three, I have De'Aaron Fox going to the Philadelphia 76ers. Who do you have?
Yeah, I still think Josh Jackson is one of the best players on the board, one of the best athletes on the board. I think there has been some rumors that he might be sliding a little bit. So this definitely might change, but I still think Josh Jackson is an okay fit there. I think the 76ers at this point just take best player available, and I think if they're going to go non-shooter, I don't think they go De'Aaron Fox. I think they go Josh Jackson.
Interesting. That team's...
It's a weird fit with Simmons, but if they really feel like Simmons is really their point guard, then Josh Jackson's the guy to put at the wing.
The whole team is a weird fit, though. Let's be honest.
It is weird. They got good players, but it's hard to build a team around Simmons, a guy that you've never seen play an NBA game. That's scary to me that they're doing that.
And then to have so many post players and then have so many players who just don't lack experience in the NBA. But no, I mean, they're in a great situation because their cupboards are completely filled with assets and they can move around and make things happen. So, it'll be interesting to see what the 76ers do. Next up, we got the Phoenix Suns, and I have them taking Jason Tatum. I think Jason Tatum is second on my big board, and I think he's the real deal. He's an offensive-minded three or four, just depending how you project his style. But this guy can score. He can create his own shot, and I think he'd be a great fit on the Phoenix Suns.
I agree. I think this is a perfect spot for Jason Tatum to fall. I have him there as well. It would be, for Phoenix, this is a perfect fit. One of his other scenarios where I think you could get, the guy's just going to fall into your lap where he's the best fit and the best player available. And this is one of those times. Jason Tatum will slide right into that three spot in Phoenix. He could, he can slide back and forth between the three and the four. And, him and Devin Booker will be tearing it up. That will be really fun.
And really, that's what Phoenix is all about, especially talking with my wife. She's a huge Phoenix Suns fan. Shout out to her. But she, she loves the days of Steve Nash and scoring and just running teams off the court. So she definitely is a huge Jason Tatum fan. All right. So then we've got the Sacramento Kings, and I have them taking Josh Jackson. Who you got?
Yeah, I've got De'Aaron Fox falling to them at five. The Kings will take what they think is the best point guard available in De'Aaron Fox, who's been rising up boards, and he's going to be a really good point guard. He's fast, been compared a lot to John Wall, and I think he's going to be good. His shot really is a concern, especially in today's NBA. You can only get so far without a jump shot, especially at the point guard position in the NBA. The defenses are gonna sag off, and they're gonna play you differently than they did in college. And you better be really good at getting to the rim and finishing with contact if you want to succeed. And I don't think De'Aaron Fox, I don't know if he's proven that. I don't know if he's strong enough. I mean, he came in at what, $170 in the combine. And I don't think that, right now he's not ready to finish through contact and he doesn't have the jump shot. So, he's fast, he's going to be compared to, John Wall and to those, Russell Westbrook in terms of speed. But those guys can finish at the rim. And, you know, his numbers are great finishing at the rim in college. But in the NBA, it's a different game.
He did pretty good against Lonzo Ball.
He did. He killed Lonzo.
Just saying. No, I mean, really with the Kings as well. I mean, those who aren't familiar with this draft, they have the 5th pick and the 10th pick. So that this is a team primed to move up. I feel like if they're a team who could possibly move up to that 3 range with, you know, the 76ers. So that's something to keep, you know, an eye on during this draft.
Man, if the Sixers get the 5th and the 10th pick in this, oh my gosh, like that would be perfect for them.
Doesn't it make sense though?
Yeah, like, they could move back and still get the guy that they really want.
And it would help the Kings. So literally that trade makes so much sense. So I would definitely keep an eye on that because I do think that has a high probability
who would the Kings take with 3, you think? If in fact Fultz and Ball are off the table and the Kings traded 5 and 10 to the Philadelphia 76ers.
If I'm that GM, I'm taking Tatum. Tatum is the real deal offensively, and I feel like he's very moldable in the aspect of, you know, defensive, you know, ability, and really it just takes the right coaching. I don't know if that would come in Sacramento. But I do think he is the best prospect on the board at that point at number 3.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think Tatum would just be their replacement for Rudy Gay, basically. He'd be the new Rudy Gay and be, you know, new and improved probably too. He'd have the ability to grow with, you know, their young guys there. You know, that the front court would be beastly, man, with Tatum and, you know, Skal Labissiere and Willie Cauley-Stein.
Plenty of shot attempts available in Sacramento as well. So I think that would be a great place to let him kind of build his confidence, be the go-to guy, and kind of build from there. So I think that would be a great fit, actually. And I don't say that about Sacramento a lot. So if there's any King fans listening to this, you know, that's probably the best compliment I can give you right now.
That's as good as it's going to get from Steve.
So and hashtag Jimmer Fredette.
So Jimmer for life.
Yeah, and they even gave up on Isaiah Thomas, so whatever.
That's right. True. Oh man.
We're done with the Sacramento Kings talk.
And then Philadelphia in that case goes 5 and 10 and they move back and they still grab who I think is the perfect fit for them in Malik Monk, probably.
Malik Monk is definitely gonna be one of the 5th and 10 picks if they do move back.
Yeah.
As well as I do think they might take a potential pick here, maybe like a Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, I could see an Isaac fitting in, you know, pretty well with them. I think, you know, they do have, he's a versatile big. I think he could, him next to, you know, slotted at the 4 next to Joel Embiid. Like that's, I mean, athletic and shooting and yeah, that's scary.
76ers are just a team to keep an eye on during this draft. They're just so entertaining in the fact that they are not like any other team in the NBA right now. The way their team is constructed just doesn't make sense, which is okay because, you know, the NBA is going to positionless basketball, and it's just really entertaining and interesting to see how teams are kind of approaching that strategy. So you're going to see that a lot in this next draft as people who might have, you know, 1, 2, maybe even 3 point guards in their starting lineups going forward. You know, that might be an okay thing, you know. So keep that in mind as you watch this, you know, this draft unfold and keep that, you know, positionless basketball approach in your mind. I guess we need to talk about the 6th pick.
Who's making the 6th pick? Let me see here.
John Hammond.
John Hammond picks who, Steve? Who do you have going?
This is easy. And again, off of episode 1, nothing changed for me in my mind. This guy, to me, screams Orlando Magic. Unless you can somehow get Markelle Fultz. That's pretty much how my opinion changes. The Orlando Magic will select and should select Dennis Smith. He has that leadership trait. I love his approach to the game. I think he can make improvements to his game immediately and actually come in his rookie year. And I don't say this about a lot of guys. I think he can make a big time impact on the team next year and beat out Elfrid Payton.
Agreed. Easily. Dennis Smith is the guy the Magic should pick without any doubt in my mind should be Dennis Smith Jr. I mean, Jonathan Isaac scares the crap out of me. You know why? Because I know Hammond's history in drafting. I know these guys, you know, Weltman and Hammond, they're notoriously known for reaching for guys. And so reaching for young, you know, athletic, rangy, potential filled guys. And that to me screams Jonathan Isaac. But I do not think that's the way that they should go. I think that's too big of a risk for the Magic at this point. I think at this point, the Magic best player available and one of their biggest needs is point guard. And ta-da, Dennis Smith Jr. falls into your lap. And I have him so high on my big board. You know, I love the guy. I think, like Steve said, a lot of his weaknesses can be tweaked and fixed, unlike a lot of other guys. And so I think his shot is going to come. I think his athleticism is through the roof. And I think, you know, even if De'Aaron Fox is there, even, you know, I think even if like a Josh Jackson is there, you still consider taking Dennis Smith Jr.
I think with the Orlando Magic's draft board, I have it in this order. Markelle Fultz, Jason Tatum, and then third, I have Dennis Smith. So getting him at six or any of those three would be a huge win for the Orlando Magic organization. And as a fan, that is a perfect building block going forward. And it's really nice, too, because all three of those players, in my mind, are leaders, and they can come in and contribute right away. I don't want to draft a player at six who's going to need, you know, 2 to 3 years to develop. And I have to hear the word potential over and over again. I'm sick of that. We need guys in here who are going to take us to the playoffs next year. They're gonna improve our team now, not sit on the bench, wear nice warm-ups, you know, and have the nicest suits dry cleaned over and over again.
Yeah, a lot of these guys, like I think like a Jonathan Isaac, is going to need a year or two to really, really get...
Let's go three.
Okay, let's be 3 years away. Okay, so he's about 3 years away from really being that impact guy that you're going to want to see. And he could be, like, he could be in the mold of Kawhi Leonard's, you know, say something like that. But it's going to take too long, and there's huge risk with that. And I don't know, I think the Magic just take this guy. Take Dennis Smith Jr., throw him into your point guard, change the culture, and you've got something. And you've got other picks too, where you can fill out with veterans and you know, sign some guys for your bench. I mean, I just think Dennis Smith is your building block going forward for the future.
And then number seven to the Timberwolves, I have Jonathan Isaac going. I think that's where his potential really lights up. And I think every time I mock draft of this draft this year, I always have Jonathan Isaac going to the Minnesota Timberwolves next to Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There's some fits like this every year, and it always happens, and they click right away. And guess what? It actually happens, you know, when draft day comes around. That's Jonathan Isaac to the Timberwolves. I'd probably put money in Vegas on this.
Yeah, this is the one team in the top 10 like that has the perfect fit, like a realistic fit falling to them. Like the Magic and the Timberwolves, I think, have some of the best, you know, fits that might fall to them realistically. And Jonathan Isaac to the Timberwolves makes so much sense. Putting Isaac next to Karl Anthony Towns, oh my gosh, like, yeah, that's gonna be, you know, I mean, Isaac and, you know, and Wiggins and you know, Levine, and I mean, just those guys are, could just grow together. And I mean, the fit there is perfect. So, I mean, seven, Isaac, I mean, lock it up, you know, throw in the ocean, it's done.
All right, and then at eight, Andy, who do you have go run the triangle with Phil Jackson and Carmelo Anthony?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, I don't think Carmelo
Anthony... Rook.
I think Carmelo Anthony might be gone by that time. So they might need another high-volume shooter to replace him. So...
Malik Monk?
I think Malik Monk goes to the Knicks at eight.
Interesting.
I think they pick best player available and the scoring weapon, put him next to, you know, run pick and rolls with Chris Tapps. I think that's a pretty good fit.
I've got the long, athletic French point guard, Frenchie Frank, to the New York Knicks. And kind of, you know, they got Chris Tapps, you know, so... really their international scouting's, you know, top of the line. So I do think, you know, if they're going to risk something on an international player, I think that's, you know, a good fit for them. And I think that'd be really interesting. Imagine that point guard center combo with that much range.
Yeah, that length is very enticing for sure. I like Frenchie Frank and Chris Stapps together. Both Porzingis and Ntilikina or however say his name. I mean I'm sure the New Yorkers would love to have Porzingis and Frenchie Frank. I could just see their draft reactions when Frenchie Frank gets called and you know,
be that play-by-play announcer. There's Stockton to Malone, and then there's Ntilikina to Porzingis. That was pretty cool.
That was, oh man, what a good call.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Oh man, yeah, that is a problem. What about like Frenchie Frank to Porzingod, you know, something like that. It's still bad.
Got to come with the nicknames. I'm trying for you, New York Knicks fans. All right, number 9, we've got Dallas, and I have them taking Zach Collins. I was down on Zach Collins last week even, and watching some of his games at Gonzaga and kind of just listening to some interviews about him and kind of his approach to the game of basketball. You know, this guy's very interesting. You know, he's been okay with his role on a team as a backup at Gonzaga. Even in high school, he was a backup. That's interesting. At first take, I was kind of like, why would I want a guy who's a backup? But then actually thinking about it and hearing what teammates had to say about him and his work ethic, he accepted a team role and he did what the team needed to win. And that was, if you watch Gonzaga basketball, they relied on their bigs. So he actually played pretty significantly, but did come off the bench. And he's, you know, interesting in the fact that I think he probably plays, you know, center in the small ball lineup or power forward in a bigger lineup, but he does have range. I do think a three-point shot will develop with him. And he also protects the rim, which, you know, we're starting to see more shooters who can protect the rim, which is very rare in the league right now, and that's a very hot commodity. So I do think Dallas takes him off the board at number 9.
Yeah, he's definitely a great, you know, he is a high commodity in the league right now. Collins, like I said last week, you know, he is one of my guys you got to be careful with. I think, you know, because he's been in a reserve role for most of his career, I think there might be a tendency that he, you know, he might just be a role player. You know, I mean, he does have a very, you know, very interesting skill set. And I think the combination of shot blocker with a three-point shooter, I mean, that is very enticing. And you could see, I think if he would have went back to school this year and come back next year, he would have been ready and he would have been a top 5 pick. But I could see his fit with them being really, really nice. I have him going a pick later to the Kings, but he's definitely going to go in that range, I believe. You know, that late top 10, late lottery. He's definitely going to go somewhere in there. And he deserves it. I think from his skill set alone, he and his potential, I think, you know, at that point in the draft, I think this is where it kind of drops off big time after that top 8. I think there's a big drop off in the draft. So after that point, you kind of, you know, from 9 to 14, it's kind of, you know, you don't really know. You're just kind of, you know, taking stabs at people at this point.
Yeah. And then at 10, to the Sacramento Kings. So you have Zach Collins going there. I have Malik Monk going to Sacramento. I think they're just kind of trying to get as many assets at this point after DeMarcus Cousins departed during, you know, the trade deadline. So I do think they go there. But again, Sacramento is one of those teams that I do think is going to be super active on draft day. So keep an eye on that. But I have them going to, or them picking Malik Monk at that point just for scoring.
Wow, that would be huge if they were able to pick
Buddy
up.
Buddy Hield.
They would pick up Fox. Who would they be? Who'd you have them picking up at 5?
Josh Jackson.
Jackson and Monk. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a nice pickup at 5 and 10. Yeah. So
I'll submit my application for their GM spot next year.
You can work with Vlade.
he'll be gone by then. See, that's a job I would love to follow him after.
You look pretty good no matter what you did, pretty much. Because he's done such a terrible job.
Hey.
Whatever. Yeah. Sacramento. Sorry. Sorry, Sacramento.
Small shoes to fill.
I'm such a tall man.
Yeah. But yeah, and then so that's our top 10. Now what we want to do is, you know, we have multiple picks in at the sweetest spot of the draft, in my opinion. This draft is so deep, and I do think the Magic can get, you know, multiple contributors in the 25 to 33rd and the 35th pick. I do think they can land some, you know, a couple players who will, you know, impact this team immediately as well. So with that being said, we've looked at our big boards. Andy, who, you know, in this range of kind of the 20 to 40, who kind of is that gem in this draft that can come in and make that impact we've been talking about and fits that specific identity that the Magic are looking for?
Yeah, I think I've been watching a lot of tape on this guy recently, and I really, really like him. I've grown to like him more and more. If he's there at 25, I think we should take him. And he is DJ Wilson. Some people don't like him. I love him. I think he's going to rise too. I think he's a very versatile stretch four. He's athletic. He's huge wingspan. He can shoot the three ball. I think he'd be a great, like, immediate backup four for the Magic and find playing time. And I think he fits this NBA super well. I think he could spend time even at the five because of his wingspan. I think Orlando could do a lot worse with that pick than DJ Wilson. He's the first guy that comes to mind. I've got a few.
Yeah, for yeah. Sure. Another player that I don't think is getting enough spotlight, and in college she kind of went under the radar. But I actually had the opportunity of coaching high school basketball in Utah, and witnessed this kid's rise up in high school sports, and that's Frank Jackson out of Duke. Kind of played a reserve role for Duke. He did start, but really just never had the grasp of a, you know, full time starter role with them. So I don't feel like he got to showcase. But I'm telling you, I've witnessed Damian Lillard, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year at Weber State in person, and I knew he was an NBA player. I had the opportunity to witness 2 years of Jimmer Fredette. I'm okay telling you right now that Frank Jackson is going to be an NBA player for a long time and is a very safe pick and could come in and contribute. If the Magic don't get Dennis Smith with that first pick or a point guard, I would definitely target Frank Jackson in that, you know, late first round, early second range. And I do think he could come in. He brings a great leadership, you know, identity to whatever team's going to draft him. And I do think he could challenge for starting minutes immediately. He is that
so
good.
What do you like about Frank Jackson on the floor? Like, what does he do well, would you say?
Well, one, I mean, he's 6'4". He can play the point guard and shooting guard role. So, you know, how we talked about positionless basketball, he kind of feels just the guard role. And obviously that can be adjusted because, you know, teams still like to play position basketball. So if you wanted to mold him to a point guard, that's what he did play in high school. He is comfortable with the ball in his hands. He has range for days. He can sit there and pop it, you know, from way far back. He can also, you've got to respect his game, so he can also take him off the dribble and take him straight to the rack. He's not afraid of, you know, finishing at the rim. Great, great rebounder even for a guard. Multiple times, if you go watch his Duke film, there were balls just coming off the rim and he was jumping in the air and putting them back as a guard.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Yeah. Of all the film I've been watching of, you know, all the guards in this draft, that's not something you normally see on a highlight tape. So, you know, he's great in that aspect and he can play, you know, he can be a catch and shoot guy too. So really he just fits whatever guard role you need, and he's clean off the court as well. So really just a great pick in my opinion.
So some of the people, you know, that are saying that are kind of worried about Frank Jackson say that he that his playmaking ability isn't there, that he's just a scorer, and that his defense isn't there either. So, I mean, are those things, do you think those things are valid, or do you think he can overcome those?
I think they're valid. Again, you have to take everything for what it is. That Duke team was not a defensive team. I think everybody on that Duke team this last year could say that a lot of them didn't play great defense. Now, is that individual defense or is that team defense? Because, you know, if one guy's playing defense and four others aren't, you know, you're still going to look pretty awful. So,
right.
You know, realistically, I do think, you know, you have to look at that. You have to look at that film. I do think with the right coaching that is all repairable. Just like the Dennis Smith argument, the kid's got the talent. He's got the work ethic. I've seen it in person. I would feel safe drafting Frank Jackson, and I do think he'd put the work in to be a great player for the Orlando Magic.
Would you take him at 25?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, you're that high on him. Wow. I don't know if I'd take him at 25. I would consider him with like the 35th pick, but I don't think he's even going to go that high in this draft, so I would probably try to trade back into the draft to get him.
Frank Jackson reminds me a lot of a athletic George Hill.
Oh, okay.
Spurs.
That's a good player.
I would promise you have him on their draft board.
Yeah, he definitely seems kind of a Spursy player for sure. So who's another guy on your board that you think the Magic, you know, should target with their three picks within that range?
Well, off the top of my head, I mean, really, they've got a few different options they can go. And again, this draft, there's a few characters in this draft that really I've seen go as high as 12 all the way into the second round. You know,
right. A lot of people say that after the lottery, kind of, you know, that 15 to 40 range almost, there's like huge fluctuations. You know, players are going from 16, they could go as high as 16, they could go as low as, you know, 38. You know, that same player's on another board at 38. So
I mean, really like, you know, Luke Kennard. I like Justin Jackson.
Justin Jackson from
North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Correct. I like Bam from Kentucky. There's a few different guys in this draft that like I said, this draft is deep with contributors. These are the players, the ones I just named, are guys who I feel like could come in day one on the Magic and find a role. I'm not saying they're going to come in and be starters instantly, but I do think they would play a big role in the Orlando Magic organization and help them make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So with a Justin Jackson, you know, what's nice is, you know, they had an amazing run. He, you know, he's not a one and done. So he knows, he's experienced that. I think he probably brings a little bit more maturity to your team. He knows what it takes to win. I love guys who knows what it takes to win.
Yeah.
That was my biggest knock on Fultz. Granted, I have to find something just because I love...
He's a good prospect.
I love the NBA.
He's almost the perfect prospect.
But the one thing I would say about him and even Dennis Smith is, you know, it's kind of just hurts that they didn't win it at college. You know, that's a flag to me.
For sure. Yeah.
But does that define them? Absolutely not. But that's one flag to me is, hey, why didn't you win in college? You know, so...
Right. Yeah, I think that's definitely something you need to look out for. You need to look for people that are winners, especially with these picks. You need to bring people in that you know have had success and will continue to succeed. Because a lot of these, you know, I wish I could be, you know, get John Hammond's, you know, take on this just to see what he looks for in a second round pick. Because obviously he knows something that we don't. I think if the Magic don't go point guard at six, I think there's about three prospects that I would kind of look out for that you could draft with 25 or those other picks. One is Frank Jackson. I do like Frank Jackson too, but I think two guys that might be better than him are Juwan Evans and Frank Mason. And I would take Juwan Evans with 25 if we don't take a point guard at six. I really, really like Juwan Evans. That guy can put the ball in the bucket. Got a great floater game. He's exactly what the type of guy that the Magic should be looking for talent wise that can just score the basketball, because the Magic just don't have that guy. They can't depend on anybody on their team right now to put the ball in the basket. So Juwan Evans would be a great. Frank Mason is a great experienced guy that, you know, he basically is would be the new Jameer Nelson, you know, of the Orlando Magic. I would kind of see him as come in with experience, winner. I think, you know, he could, you know, at worst be a great backup, you know, push Elfrid Payton, and those guys would be great. Obviously there's, you know, Bam Adebayo. I think he's a great prospect as a big guy that they could look at. Zendarius Thornwell, love him. I think, you know, one of the best two-way players in the draft.
Why do people not have him on their mock drafts?
I have no idea. I think Thornwell, I mean, I've heard him, you know, dropping out of the draft. I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy's a first-round pick. Like, Thornwell, like, he's got this the tools and the skill, the talent. Like, I don't know. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah, I take Thornwell all day. I mean, he just proved that in college over and over again that he belonged, and he's got an amazing talent set. Along with him, you know, even Dylan Brooks, I think, you know, him at Oregon, he proved over and over that he could create offense. With the second round, those are guys that I think are special. You can find a guy in the second round that can create offense. That's the hardest thing to teach. So, yeah, I'm going to take a chance on guys like that. So these mock drafts are just interesting. And it's funny because we've talked about smoke screens. A lot of times teams just won't talk about players. And then once the day comes around, you're going to see all these international guys go. You're going to hear about guys who we've never even talked about on our podcast. I mean, it's just crazy. This time of year is just nuts when you try to keep up with all the draft rumors and whatnot.
It's fun. It's fun for sure. I know we've been talking a little bit about Tyler Lydon as well, and how
I like him.
How he, like, from last year, he was so high on everyone's like initial
top five.
Yeah, like top five on everyone's boards, like right after the 2016 draft. Everyone was like, "Oh, here's Tyler Lydon. He could be, you know, one of these guys that could rise up all the boards. He could be the guy." And now where is he mocked now? He's like mocked at I think he's on this mock that I'm looking at right now from NBADraft.net. He's 30 to the Jazz. I mean, but there's just talent all over the place in this draft, and I think there are some diamonds in the rough here. There are some guys that, especially in the Magic's range, that you can find and that you could use on a team like the Magic right now. And like you said, Steve, earlier, guys that just give you more value. You get a guy like Tyler Lydon in the second round, all of a sudden, like, he turns into something, and you've got, you know, this guy that you can either, you know, put in your team. You have trade value now. Like, he's just one of those assets in the cabinet.
Next thing you know, the Brooklyn Nets trade you three firsts for him, and it's all, you know, unicorns and rainbows after that.
And then you have three first picks in the next three drafts. And yeah, I guess
Danny Ainge is the man. That we'll just end it there. So
Danny Ainge, man, that guy.
Yeah, he freaking robbed a bank and
he robbed the Nets.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, with this draft, I think the one thing that it lacks is a true post player that I really feel comfortable with. I think what you see in this draft is you see a lot of that new role for centers is, you know, rim protector, big time rebounder, but the traditional centers of, you know, going, you know,
well, you don't like Lauri Markkanen.
Oh gosh. On that note, Zach Collins beats out him every day. No, but I mean, there's really no post player out there that really just has taken this draft by the horns and said, "I'm the best," you know, post player. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There's really, you know, you look at the top of the draft and, you know, in the lottery, there's really just no guy there that's just like screaming, like, I'm the big guy this draft. I'm the center. You know, I don't know. I don't see him. I don't see him. Who do you think is the best true center in this draft?
Ooh.
You think Zach Collins is technically a true center, or do you think he's more of a power forward?
Yeah, see, I think he's a center in the aspect of like a small ball role.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say he's a true center because it's very situational. If I'm going center on my board, I have now, again, in this draft, there's a lot of hard last names. You're going to realize that really quick. So if your team, the Magic draft them, or your team, if you're a fan of another team, they draft them, have fun with a lot of these. But I have Ike Enigbagu from UCLA. I love his film. Very athletic. Yep. I think he's still very raw, though. But he does protect the rim. He rebounds really well. I love the way he sets screens. And really, you know, those are kind of what I look for in a center, you know, in a draft is, hey, can you come in, create some offense for us in the way you set screens? Can you rebound? And can you protect the rim? That's really what I'd ask out of a rookie big man.
Yeah, I think that's all you could ask. You know, guys like that and like Bam. I think Bam will rise up the boards here. I think he's having great workouts. Looks like he's shooting the ball pretty well, too. I think Bam is definitely a center. I don't know why some people have him listed as a power forward. But in today's NBA, I think that guy's a center in this league. And him and, like, Ike from UCLA, I think definitely, like, these guys, that's all you got to ask for is kind of do the Bismack Biyombo thing, is just rebound the ball, play great defense, run the floor, catch lobs. That's what centers do in the NBA right now. And that's all you really need to ask them. If they can stretch the floor, that's huge. But right now, all you need them to do really is block shots, run the floor, do the dirty work, you know. And I think there's guys in this draft, you can find them that will do those things for you.
In this draft, which international prospect do you like the most?
I mean, I like Frenchie Frank. I think he's a good one. I think Lauri Markkanen is, I know I've talked about him before. He's a big risk. I don't know if I love him. But you know, I think Frenchie Frank is kind of clearly like one of the best, international prospects that we've seen in the first round.
I think another guard not getting a lot of love too, though, that's, you know, taken unusual route to get to the NBA is, you know, Terrence Ferguson went over, yep, and played in Australia. I think he's got a skill set that, you know, in that 15 to 30 range. I don't quite know if where he's going to land based on people's boards right now, but he's an interesting prospect. And that's the hard part, is he took an untraditional route and playing pro first and then entering the NBA draft.
Yeah, kind of like a Moutier did a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. We haven't seen a lot of success come from that route quite yet.
Yeah, it's harder because the competition's so different overseas. You know, sometimes it can hurt a prospect because the competition is just so different. The game's a little bit different. The team may not want to play you because if they do, then they're going to lose their prospect to the NBA. Right. It's just it, and I think that's, there's just problems when you do that stuff. I don't know. I understand the prospect of, you know, the potential of going pro right out of high school and making money and you know, getting your name out there overseas and getting some life experience under your belt. But it could hurt you. And I think a guy like Terrence Ferguson, that you could see that. I think if he possibly would have gone into college basketball, I think people would be able to see his game, which he has an awesome game. He's super athletic and shoot the ball. I mean, he has potential, and I think that's why you see so much fluctuation with him. You know, from, you know, high lottery or, you know, the late lottery to, you know, to the end of the first round sometimes. So I think it's difficult to pinpoint where he's going to land.
Yeah. And on side note on that too, that's why they need to get rid of the one and done.
I think so too. I think you just let them come out right out of high school. If they think they're ready, then just come. If not, they should know that they're ready. They should be able to, you know, get the scouts saying, hey, look, you're not going to be where you want to be. Go to school for a year and then come. Like, yeah. What, I mean, I don't know. I think
go to school for 4 years, make March Madness great again.
Make March Madness great again.
Shout out to Kim Harrington on that one. No, I mean, this draft is really going to be, you know, really interesting the way it plays out, because I think so many teams are going to want to, you know, get into this draft later on to find those contributors. I think trade talk is going to be off the wall.
Yeah, it's
once trade. I mean, once draft day comes, so that will be one thing you'll have to stay glued to your TV. And there's going to be so many conversations being had and so many smoke screens, and I think tons of trade movement. And I think people are okay with, you know, taking on rookies at this point, especially with the way the landscape is with the league and how contracts are just so much bigger through free agency, that I think, you know, taking these rookies and molding them into role players at the beginning of their careers is the way to go for a lot of GMs.
Yeah, agreed. And I just think there's going to be some great prospects. There's going to be a lot of movement. It's going to be fun. We're going to be following, covering it all. Follow us on Twitter, Orlando Magic PC. We're going to be tracking all of these trades down. We're going to be tracking all these prospects. There's going to be good stuff going on with the Orlando Magic. We are hopeful and we're excited.
And real quick, before we end the show, I want to ask Andy some really important questions. Andy, just one-word responses.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Defensive player of the year.
Draymond Green.
MVP.
Westbrook.
Most improved player.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Rookie of the year.
Malcolm Brogdon.
Boom. All right. There's all of Andy Harrington's hot takes. So if you hated any of those responses, please tweet him and give him hate mail, because it's awesome and it'll entertain me.
I love hate mail.
Again, if you have any questions, you know, follow us on Twitter. Like Andy said, we're also on iTunes and SoundCloud. We're really excited to keep the show going. So again, contribute, interact with us, and we'll make sure we give you a shout out on the show. Any shout outs you have for anyone out there?
Yeah, shout out to one of my favorite podcasts, the Drive and Dish podcast. I love those guys, also based out of Florida. I love their podcast. Give them a listen. Also, you know, shout out to all of our Magic guys, Orlando Magic Daily, Philip Rossman Reich, listen to the Heart and Hustle podcast too. You guys are awesome. We love all the Magic support out there. Let's really, you know, bring the Magic back into the, you know, back into the good eye of the NBA. Let's bring the optics back. Let's really, you know, bring Orlando Magic basketball back to, you know, when it was great. And so I think all of us doing this, doing these podcasts, doing all these the writings, we just keep it going and really just support our team here. Support the Magic.
Amen, brother. All right, so that's episode 2. Talk to you guys soon. Episode 3 is coming up. Let us know what you want to hear. Have a great night.
Just two guys and we're having a good time. Having a good time. Having a good time. Just two guys and we're having a good time. Having a good time.
And boom goes the dynamite.